That's it. That's our show.
Yo, honestly, you know, I was listening to a podcast that I used to listen to back in the day. The Champs is what got me into podcasts in general. Mm-hmm. And somebody said,
what they said?
They said that somebody came up to me and said, you know why I fuck with y'all? Because y'all release y'all's episodes whenever the fuck y'all want.
Some people
don't even like structure. And I never thought about that. And I was like, you know what? And I mean, they were like, that's an accident. But okay, I'm glad somebody fucks with it because that's what's accidentally happening.
Yep.
And all in all, man, listen.
I hope y'all feel that way.
I hope y'all do too. But here's the thing. There's not adults with jobs who have bills. And from time to time, what's that Jill Scott song? It's getting in the way of what I'm feeling. It's getting in my way.
Or.
We go.
Hold on. Time is slipping away from me. Yeah.
And when those things happen, we gonna have to connect another time.
All of that shit.
So we starting strong, I think. What's the matter?
Oh, I was about to hit the drums, please, on that ass, because why not?
Hit the drums, please, on that ass. Oh, I don't
know. Do I need to do it again? No, yeah, I'm so...
Yeah,
how?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Hold on.
You've got mail.
O to the, E to the.
You get scared to leave this stupid.
Oh!
Yes. Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me.
Hit me.
I appreciate that.
Hello, Moto.
Be
low key, some of that stuff make, like, hearing fee hee hee, nay, it made me want to go watch Boy Meets World. Like, I really feel like rewatching something now.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking today how Drums Please means something entirely different to me now than it ever did before. I'm always going to associate Drums Please with this podcast more than summertime now.
Same, because I forgot it even went with summertime.
I mean, not that people don't turn that up like that. Like, I mean, I don't. People fuck with summertime, but it's not like you don't have to play it at the party.
You don't have to. It's cool if you do.
Yeah, ain't nobody mad.
But it's not a necessity to the party.
Yeah.
But you're going to be like, whoa, when it come on.
Yeah, when that shit come on at the cookout, you're going to be like, damn.
This is on at the cookout.
I didn't even going to say that. That's
how fitting.
Damn, this is on at the cookout. Not damn, that's hot. You're going to be like, damn, the song is on. I mean, it's on. It's one of those songs where you might be like, yeah, it's on.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. What a time.
Have you guys ever wondered if we hang out outside of the podcast? They should know, right? What? We're obvious real friends, right?
Well, you and I?
Yeah. You and I?
I don't know. I don't know if they know that or not. I mean, if they follow either one of us, I'm sure they know. Like, separately. I'm sure they know.
If they follow us. But yeah. I mean, can they get the gist, the idea, the reality that we are friends?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm biased. Kind of on the inside loop of
indifferent?
That. Indifferent? No, I'm not indifferent. I'm legitimately biased. I know that we maybe hang out. Like, I already know
you
that.
You know that. I'm asking if they know that. If you think they could piece together from how we talk to each other that we are real friends.
Well,
you know
how sometimes, hold on.
You know, well, more so with bigger names and podcasts, like, it's more of a business relationship than actual personal. Like,
oh, yeah,
some
they just
people,
get together for
you
that.
Can tell yeah. Some people don't get together like that yeah. Much, or like they don't really fuck with each other like that. They just get into the money.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why they would know that if they didn't know it before is because you always be on this podcast talking my business.
So, oh, shoot. Well, okay, anyway, the point of the story ain't even that major, other than the fact that we went to the movies the other night, me, him, and our friend, and we saw Bad Boys for Life.
The other night, nigga, that was 24 hours ago. That just happened.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying, like.
In podcast time, it happened who knows when. To them, it's last week. To them, it's 3 days ago. So I speak in podcast time.
Okay, that's fair.
So the other day.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, 3 weeks ago.
Well, it could be whenever you guys want it to have been. Fact remains, we saw it. The time in which we saw it is not relevant information to the story, even remotely. But Jazz wants you to know that it happened at a time frame.
And thoughts.
She's a reminder. She's reminding you guys that we make time for other shit and not to do this podcast. We don't put this shit out regularly, but we go into the movie.
Hey, don't drag us. Don't drag us. This is material. This is content. This was an outing for a reason to use in our podcast, but not really.
I was about to say.
Because I was going
to
see it anyway. Yeah, with or without this podcast.
Listen, tell another lie. Yeah, we did go see Bad Boys last night. And, you know, we stan Martin and Will, man. Love them.
We sure do. I'm not going to lie. I went in with pretty mediocre expectations. Like
mediocre? What does that mean? What do you mean? Elaborate.
Meaning I didn't have high expectations, but I didn't have low. Just mediocre ones.
Indifferent.
Do you want me to say medium? No, because there was something there. Just mediocre. Just that it'll be fine.
Mediocre sounds bad. Mediocre has a minor negative connotation.
T.I. said he didn't want one? Because T.I. don't want a mediocre?
No, okay.
Huh?
First of all, fuck
wasn't
that
you
song.
Just talking about being I'm about to tell you business again. How we was talking about being basic and how that's okay in our lives, but you got a problem with mediocre? Now,
listen, I'm going to tell you what it
is
means.
Is it Uchiwali or is it one mic?
It's always Uchiwali. but
agreed.
Be a long and a cherry thong. Get the fuck out of here. Mediocre is of only moderate quality, not very good.
Moderate, right?
Yeah, not very good.
I feel like that's conflicting.
The two
moderate means like it's in the middle.
Yeah. But
so not very good
is a legitimate.
So
stance.
Tell me the definition of indifferent. We going to school today on
no,
y'all
listen,
asses today.
Here's the thing.
Tell
why
me.
Would, why on
give
earth,
me the definition, please.
Why on earth would you need definition?
Tell me.
Listen, you know the word different.
Come on.
They added the N. Having no particular interest or sympathy, unconcerned, neither good nor bad.
No.
Wait, hold on. This is gonna fuck you up. This is what it says. Neither good nor bad, comma. Mediocre.
Oh shit.
Woo, bust the case wide open.
Okay, but I'm still going with mediocre because
it works now.
That says neither here nor there, where mediocre said I had a little something for it, but not a lot of something for it.
She ain't had a lot.
Either way it goes, I didn't expect too much from the movie other than to be blown away by nostalgia because you know that's our shit and we fuck with Will, we fuck with Martin, we fuck with Bad Boys. But they went above and beyond. It was action-packed. We laughed. I said, oh shit, hella times. It really blew my muffin cap back blue.
I mean, listen, I'm going to say this. The action scenes...
On the edge of my seat.
The
personally.
Action scenes were actually like very, very like they were impeccable. I mean, and then I can't go into anything because it will spoil something. But there's something in there I've never seen before, like something in a like and then you know how rare it is to see something you ain't never seen before
right.
in an action movie because like it'd be like oh something gonna blow up and all they do is come up with like odd ways to frame action film like action scenes like mm-hmm. It's like okay we know niggas is gonna shoot and we know niggas is gonna run.
How
no
can
niggas
we
is
make,
gonna hide.
How can we make this?
So we have to frame this differently. So we're going to end up, they're going to be on bikes. They're going to be on motorcycles versus cars. They're going to be in a truck versus that. You know, any sort of roundabout way to make an action scene be like, ooh, I never thought about being in that situation.
Right.
Having something blow up. I've seen stuff blow up when I wasn't in that situation, but not like this. And that's, they did that a lot in that film.
And there's little plot twists that I personally didn't predict or think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can name two that I literally was like, I did not expect this to go that way.
Yeah. I mean,
I love it.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I'll leave it at that. I will say, this is not a spoiler by any means. Martin Lawrence's character has no business. He's completely ill-equipped to be a police officer. He never actually has been. And every like the first one, I remember thinking, it's funny because he's not really that good of a cop because he's not great at cop shit. Mm-hmm. And the second one, I was like, damn, this nigga's still a cop. Yo, okay, we were actually going to talk about Martin and Will at one point. I think that's something that we were going to do on this show.
Are you
going to
make a point from this? Because if you just want to tell people what we were going to do and we not going to do no level to it.
Nah, I did have a point about Martin Lawrence's movie career that I had told you about how it does have leaves a little bit to be desired. Martin Lawrence is going to forever be a legend for the energy that he gave us from 1992 through like the year 2001 in general. If he did nothing else, he'd still be, you know, like a legendary person. And let any comedian tell you, Chris Rock said that he had Martin open for him at a show in the 90s and Martin ate him alive. Like, he was like, I had to kick him off my shit because he was going so hard. I was coming out and people were chanting, "We want Martin back." That's how crazy it was. Mm-hmm. And how he also kind of fucked up because, like, Chris Rock wasn't even part of that scene. He didn't have a black audience because he was on SNL during, like, Sandler era. And Martin was on Def Comedy Jam and the Martin Show. And Chris Rock knew nothing about that shit. Now, I mentioned this to say that if you look at Martin Lawrence's top billed movies where he does not have a partner versus the ones where he does, I think you see a stark difference in, you know, where your affinity lies with him in his movies.
Yeah.
And I think the idea there is that he just plays along best with others. And honestly, kind of on that Will Smith trajectory where Will Smith always talks about how he has these, like, life-defining relationships.
And, oh, God.
And the gift that he has for knowing, like, the moment he meets somebody, like,
yeah,
this, me and this
Jazzy Jeff,
person
Jada
have
Pinkett, Martin Lawrence,
yeah, exponential growth together. What if Martin also has that same thing? And what if, in a lot of ways, that's exactly what Tisha Campbell is? Because I mean,
the plot does what? Thickens,
boldens, italicizes,
gets lumpy.
The plot italicizes. gets lumpy because they now we feel like we're talking about Martin. Now, is that a joke on Martin gaining weight?
No.
Oh, that would have been funny.
I was thinking about the thickening of gravy and how sometimes that shit might get lumps.
Oh,
in.
Yeah. I thought you were about the thickening,
you
of
know,
Martin
I'm country
Lawrence.
As hell.
Sometimes that shit get lumpy.
Everything relates to gravy.
Everything.
Or grits.
Grits. Girls raised in the South. I never figured that was like somebody's like.
Girls raised in the South. I definitely had a shirt that said that in middle school.
We love to see it.
I'm sorry. No, but yes.
Yeah, I sometimes consider, after Will made that clear, my next thought was, wow, I wonder if Tisha Campbell is one of these relationships that Martin has that was like that. And the bond was broken for too long that we didn't get exactly what his potential could have been.
Yes.
Not to say that they should have done more work together, but maybe their friendship, their relationship in general would have helped him make, you know, I'm not going to say he made bad decisions. Rebound is a bad decision. Black Knight is a bad decision, actually. I'd argue a thin line is not a bad decision. Casting Bobby Brown is.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, we'll leave that at that. But in general, that energy, that Martin that we really want, that we really, really, really want, he can kind of get it in Big Mamas. He kind of gets it in Blue Streak.
Love Blue Streak.
But I feel like there's something full on missing from his life.
Yeah.
Shout out to his daughter.
But I'm glad we just had the conversation about how they addressed their relationship recently. I don't know how it got to it, but Tisha Campbell did talk about the repairing of the relationship and seeing him all these years later and how we're good.
This is not a diss, but I mean, I wonder if like that relationship severing dimmed both of their stars in some ways. Cause I just feel like Gina was on a trajectory to kind of be doing music and film. And not to say there's anything wrong with the path she took. The sitcom is, I mean, she's phenomenal at what she does. Mm-hmm. Martin alike. It just seemed like in 96, what was next for them was some wild, wild stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, while Will goes from Made in America to Independence Day to leaping into just complete superstardom, there's no reason why Martin and Tisha Campbell would not have been on the exact same playing field and being like, wow, we are getting Martin and Tisha Campbell content like every summer, and they are just so good.
They're killing it.
Yeah. I mean, but listen, that's a conversation that's all based in hypothetical. But I mean, if for some reason you have any thoughts, I would definitely love to have some discourse about this. But I thought at some point they were going to be like, try to introduce like a young, fresh blood, like do a Brandon T. Jackson Big Mama situation.
No,
at some
thank
point.
You.
We're glad that they did it, right?
I couldn't handle that.
Hey, well, that shit never works. Even if you like the guy, you're like, ugh. If honestly, take a rising star that you like, right? Somebody that you support. Like, man, I like this person. They're going to do well in Hollywood. Let's put them in a situation where they got to take the role of another one of your faves' roles things from before.
Yeah.
You will immediately just dislike them, like, altogether. Because yeah. I don't really have a good reason for not liking Brandon T. Jackson, but I don't. And the only reason I can think of is that he's in Big Mama's House 3.
Stinking up the place.
Stinking up the joint. And here's the thing. Maybe he's good. I really have no idea.
I used to love him a lot. I went to one of his comedy shows way back in, like, maybe mid-2000s, and, like, I did the whole meet-and-greet thing and everything.
Wow.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I still got, like, something I bought from it, but I really did love him for a second.
I mean, like, he was definitely, like, he had a rising star. I don't think he's, like, fallen. It's just one of those things where you just don't see him anymore, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
That being said, lottery ticket was on the other day. You know I love lottery tickets.
I'm broke!
Nigga, listen, lottery tickets is a phenomenal story. Ice Cube does a fantastic job at telling us stories about long days.
He does.
Yeah.
He absolutely
does. Yeah, he's got to be the best long day nigga.
Was it really a long day, though?
It was a long ass
day. I thought a few days.
I mean,
he was going on a dating Tierra Marie.
All you're doing is, like, noting the plot holes and the fact that it did seem like he went on a date in the middle of the motherfucking day. Like, it was nighttime at the restaurant, and then it just wasn't. But, I mean, okay, it was 2 days maybe. But, I mean, essentially, it goes from him losing his job to winning the lottery to being chased all motherfucking day for a lottery ticket.
That's true.
And that's a solid thing. It's so weird to me because Bow Wow does such a good job at seeming like a regular, humble nigga when he's acting. But should he so happen to not be acting, you're like, what is wrong with this person? He never makes any sense to me. But if he's playing X or the nigga in lottery ticket whose name I can't remember, Kevin. His name is Kevin. All right. Kevin.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
It sounds right.
It is. Kevin or X, the roller skater. Mm-hmm. Or the nigga that got Teyana Taylor pregnant in Big Happy Family, which this is a good segue. But
what's like Mike's name?
Calvin Cambridge.
There we go.
Yeah, don't come for me now. You know, like Mike is a staple. All them niggas are regular people. Probably some of the most humble characters you've ever seen. Like, he lost his mama. That's sad. You know what I'm saying? He's struggling trying to support his family. He might be in love with Tari Naughton. That's, you know, he's got some shit going on, some regular nigga shit. But he can't act like a regular nigga outside of a film.
No. Well, is he... Never mind. I'm not going down this rabbit hole with Bow Wow again.
No, we don't have to. Because, I mean, generally, I'm a fan, and I think he's a legend. And I feel like we should all kind of just back the fact that...
He definitely is.
Yeah.
You have to go into your mind and tell it to forget all the dumb shit he keep doing and just remember that he is indeed a legend, and we can never take that away from him.
Yeah, I mean, he and Tyrese have the same syndrome.
Him and Tyrese, yeah.
They got the same syndrome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like imposter syndrome, honestly.
Yeah. Is that,
they got
I mean,
famous too fast.
Too furious. But I was just telling you about something I heard Will Smith talking about how Tyrese has so much talent and potential and he won't live up to it. They're both in the same boat. Like, they could have, they became goofies. And it's like, why? Y'all could have done so much more than what you're doing. Like,
well, you know what?
Y'all good, y'all rich, y'all set, but like, now people don't see you and immediately see your talent anymore, and that's sad.
I'm going to chalk it up to one of those things that I always kind of have a heel for, which is, you know, your affinity for attention and, like, knowing how to manage it. It's not that easy to do, especially if for some reason you became famous before building your brand was something that was done on the internet. Bow Wow and Tyrese came up in a time where their fame, like their star, came kind of naturally. They were famous. You know, nowadays you become famous because you had a viral thing, mm-hmm. and then you have a show. And I just don't think that that generation, that class of Hollywood, has done a fantastic job acclimating themselves to that. The only person I've seen do it really, really, really well is Will Smith. Because Will Smith is of very regular humility fame. He's got a very regular trajectory. Like, I'm going to rap with my friend. It's going to work out. MTV called. I'm going to host a show. Shit's going well for me. Oh, Quincy Jones called. We're going to do a TV show. Oh, Steven Spielberg called. I'm going to kill some aliens. Going to go bankrupt, get somebody else pregnant, then fall in love, have a family, and do amazing films for 10 years, fall off a little bit, come back, and become a mental health guru. He did a lot of regular nigga shit to get up here. You know what I'm saying? It's usually a winding road to great success. Mm-hmm. And that we saw him do it, and we love that. I think people who don't have the hard times, they are at a disservice. You know, you need some moments, you know what I'm saying, where you got to sit and reflect and think about you and your purpose and what you here for. And I feel like Bow Wow and Tyrese are of a class that did not have a lot of setbacks on the way up here. And now they set back. They set back because they ain't no setbacks.
In a nutshell.
Got to get some setbacks so you don't get set back later.
Okay.
All right. I mentioned Madea's Big Happy Family, and I was going to segue that into Tyler Perry conversation because he is the talk of the motherfucking town right now.
He is.
It's divisive, too. Polarizing.
Oh, boy.
It's either amazing or it's awful.
All right. Tyler Perry took to social media to display the fact that he does not have a writer's room. And honestly, up until that moment, you didn't think about it, but wow, that makes so much fucking sense. Of course you don't. There is a writer's room for a reason. Because I don't think it's humanly possible to write all of these scripts by your mother, not just one script. You're writing 8 scripts a year. That's movies and TV. And you're not running that shit by other writers to help you. That is mind-blowing to me, and not the good kind.
I am. My cousin told me that he said that he wrote those first 3 sitcoms by himself. House of Pain, Meet the Browns, and whatever the third one was.
Okay.
And that was the only thing that was true about that writer's room being just him. And I was like, I don't know, fam. Because not to say that I know firsthand, but I also kind of feel like it's extremely on brand for the movies and everything else. And Tyler Perry has been highly criticized, like critically, for what he does. And I'm glad he didn't let it stop him from putting out work, because I didn't want that anyway. But there's something narcissistic about putting your name on everything anyway. I always thought that shit was whack.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't hate his work. I don't criticize it as much as the next person. But I do feel like sometimes it falls flat simply because he's not getting those other perspectives and ways that this plot can fill out in a different direction. Like, if we're just using your brain for this whole big thing, there's no way it can be as good as it can.
Not only that.
In no way it's living up to the full potential, because I think he actually has really good plots. I like his plots. It's just they could do so much more with them than what's being done. And you can chalk that up to the fact that he is just doing this shit by himself. Like that, no thank you.
What is like is two things.
He thought that was
going to do it. There's two things that I would say about that. One is, when the last time you seen Tom Cruise play a civilian in a movie? I mean, you probably don't watch a lot of Tom Cruise movies. I don't either. But Jerry Maguire might be the last time Tom Cruise was like, I'm a guy with a job. He's been famous for so long that Hollywood knows that they can't write him in scripts for regular movies. And your perspective changes whenever your life changes. It just does. There's a bunch of shit Jazz and I don't do right now that our hometown versions of ourselves definitely do. Because life is just kind of like... leveled us up into a different arena. So I can't even wrap my head around smoking a Black and Mild right now. I couldn't even, if somebody around me had one and I was at a party and they said, just hit this Black and Mild, I'd be like, what the fuck do you think this is? There's no way in hell. But at 17 years old, I might have. I don't know. Ain't no telling. Yeah. I was in the hood doing hood shit. That being said, Tyler Perry been famous so long, it's not as if he has any idea what people do anymore. He's going on like 2 decades of fame. He's rich. He's wildly rich, actually. And if for some reason you let yourself get that big, you're absolutely wrong for not passing your torch, I mean, all the way down. There's a tax bracket where you don't see me doing anything because I can't do it humbly anymore. I can't get it honest. If I can't get stuff honestly, I probably need to stop working.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
A big point being made was that he typically writes a lot of women-based stories. But it's like, you can't write so much about women not being one yourself. Can we write about women and, like, hear women talk about being a woman? And maybe that could help guide some of your work? You can't. No.
The irony is that that's not even going to stop it from getting put out, because it's never on any producer's first thing to be like, ooh, you know what this project is missing? A woman. We should get a woman involved as soon as possible. These white men don't give a fuck about women at all. The fact that they put the money up for
that
it
makes
anyway.
Sense, JD.
A book like Think Like a Man, a movie like Think Like a Man. I mean, all of Tyler Perry shit always been misogynistic. And honestly, most of Hollywood is misogynistic. But I'm telling you, down the line, whether it be Tyler Perry or Woody Allen or Steven Spielberg, never has a white man walked into a writer's room full of men and it was a movie about women and thought, wait a minute, something's missing.
I get that. But I think it's different with somebody who, like Tyler Perry, who writes this much and even plays a woman in a lot of movies, and to not think that a woman's perspective is important. I think it's levels to this shit. And he's on a level where you would think that he would want other black women in the room helping him with this kind of stuff.
Madea is a figurehead character. She doesn't have any dynamic. She's there for comic relief and comic relief alone. Nothing goes on with Madea. She's the nucleus in all the films, just bringing the people who have the shit together. But also, none of the characters in those movies have natural, like, the storylines don't happen naturally as if they would happen in person in general. And even in the stuff that I like, because I mean, it's typical, because I like Why Did I Get Married a lot. It's my favorite Tyler Perry thing, I think, with Big Happy Family being a close second. And that's mostly because of the comic genius behind Teyonah Taylor. But
a family that praises Tyler Perry, right?
Yeah. You said, you told me that's your favorite.
Yeah.
It's a little lengthy on for me.
It's got layers, though. It's got a lot more layers than typical Madea things.
Why Did I Get Married is egregious as fuck for even having Jill Scott have to get off that plane and that nigga not get off. That shit's egregious. Like
That shit's OD. That was too extreme. Because no fucking way. No way
what,
a human.
What happened on all these days where Jill Scott was gaining this weight? Was this nigga talking shit all 3 years when she started eating? Like, how much shit does this nigga pop? Because I hate him forever now. I can't never like that nigga.
He really told her to get her fat ass on the off the plane and let his side chick sit there. And she drove in the snow. Now, come on.
See, that's the problem with the writer's room, because what Tyler Perry never thinks about is, what was yesterday like? What was the day before this movie started
we
like?
Just started. We're coming out hot.
This shit is outrageous right
it's
now.
It's outrageous.
What did you do last night, nigga? Like, I don't ever know that. And I mean, at the end of the day, Tyler Perry, for me, is a great lesson in how pride can affect your work. I once read a book some years ago that was like, one of my favorite quotes, ideas don't belong to people. They're just in the air. And if for some reason you have one, it's placed upon you and you have to share it. Otherwise, your muscle in that arena doesn't grow. So, like, as somebody who's in the creative field, I have a lot of ideas that I have shared, like mixes and stuff like that. I've seen DJs copy my set. I've seen DJs copy my ideas, all sorts of stuff. And early on, I was like, yo, what the fuck? You just going to do my whole set? And now I'm like, it's not my set. It's just a combination of songs I put together. That person liked it. They did it too. I'm getting better every time somebody validates the fact that I had a good idea. Mm-hmm. So having a writer's room would at least be like, hey, I'm thinking about writing Kimberly Elise's character like this. Is she going to do this? She going to do that? She going to do this? And people right there can be like, they can validate that that makes sense because you're making this for somebody else. You can't be so proud of your work that it has no mass appeal.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I can't push Outkast and Tribe Called Quest on my audiences. That's what I listen to, but that's not what they listen to. So, you know, I have to fuck around with Meg Thee Stallion and the Baby because that's what the crowd wants. Mm-hmm. I always tell you, you don't cut the track off before Girl, I Think My Butt Getting Big, because that's what the people want.
Give the people
they
what they want.
Girl, I Think My Butt Getting Big.
They do. That's facts.
DJ's cutting that shit out before they get to Girl, I Think My Butt Getting Big, and they crazy.
That's just being poor at your job,
I agree. Tyler Perry is very famous, and he's influential, and he's going to go down in history as Black history. But a stark reminder that like with the Tyler Perry thing, is that a lot of stuff is invaluable without relationships. Like, there's a lot of things that just don't have a lot of value without relationships. And the mm-hmm. thing is, I'm never going to say that Diary of Us or Madea's, the series, don't have value because he doesn't have great relationships with people that he's writing. But sometimes we'll always wonder what could have been, you know what I'm saying, if for some reason you played well with others. Mm-hmm.
These are great thoughts, JD.
We need to find some common ground, friend. You can't just hire a bunch of actors, especially a bunch of new actors and all that bullshit he putting out on BET. And when I say bullshit, I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Have you watched it?
Here's the thing.
Okay, I have friends that like Sisters. I have maybe one friend I've seen talk about The Oval. The masses think it's not good, if you ask me.
The lighting. I
haven't
said,
watched
like,
it. I can't even give an opinion because I haven't watched one episode. I've watched a scene that was terrible, but I haven't seen an episode.
Well, somebody said it has porno lighting and that's why they can't watch it. And ever since they said it, I can't unsee it. Like, so every time I watch the commercials, I'm like, this is very, I'm the pool guy. Can I come in? this is not how shit normally goes. Yeah, it don't make any sense, actually.
I did watch a couple episodes of Sisters, and it was okay. What else is...
Bruh, is
coming soon? Is that already on?
Imagine being such a narcissist that you like, we're going to call the show Bruh. But wait. Put my name on it. Don't let them forget. Tyler Perry's Bruh. I think Tyler Perry's Bruh is the best phrase to encapsulate what Tyler Perry's work actually is.
Bruh.
Because you be at the theater like, Bruh. Where you at? Tyler Perry's Bruh. For real. This shit don't make no sense.
That shit kind of wild. Okay, he has the new movie on Netflix. I haven't checked that out either.
Ooh, and that's where the spice begins.
That'll be our homework.
That's
we're going to watch.
That's where the spice begins.
We're going to write that or watch that movie and come back and tell y'all what we think of it. I do. And it's really true. Everybody's like, everybody on Twitter.
Lighten it up.
Everybody on Twitter is like, what the fuck? All I've seen on Twitter is all the flubs. Have you seen the screenshot text?
Oh my God. That had me dead. Dead.
There's a picture of a text message screen, but you can see the photo slides of every. Oh God! And then, but you go over to Facebook. A lot of my Facebook friends is like, that movie was it. What else we got on Netflix?
And that is exactly why this is coming up, because the fact that there's a portion of you and I can directly just go from one social media account to the other, and we see the exact same thing. All of our pro what's the name of the movie?
Fall from Grace.
All of the pro Fall from Grace people are on Facebook, And all of the anti-Fall From Grace people are on Twitter. They're both me and Jazz's friends, but they're in different lanes of society. And yeah, I once told this, I was talking to our friend Brittany, and I was like, Facebook is like being at the airport. Everybody's here, but we're all clearly going different places.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's insane.
Okay, my main beef is that the main guy, I don't really know his name.
Are these unknowns too, mostly? No,
okay,
well,
hold on, I'm about to run it by you.
Okay, all right.
What's it? McCad? McCad? M-E-H-C-A-D?
McCad. What's his last name? I know
Brooks.
That guy.
Brooks.
Brooks, yeah.
He played Melanie's boyfriend on the game.
Yes.
Now, this is a decent looking man. Whatever the fuck kind of look they gave him made him look foolish.
I believe it.
And if this story is kind of what I think it's about, he had no goddamn business abusing power looking like that. He couldn't tell me shit looking like that.
You know, those are usually the type. I mean, like throughout the course of
ain't
history.
Ain't no way I'm letting a nigga that look like that tell
me
what I need to go do.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, and I'm one of these niggas that goes from ugly to attractive depending on the day. And
he just looked ridiculous. What was the hair doing?
Listen, somebody had to approve it. And not only that, somebody pushed it on him. It was not Makai Brooks's idea, I don't think.
All.
I'm hoping to God that it wasn't.
I hope Bresha Webb did well because I stand for Bresha Webb. I think she's really good. I think she has a lot of potential to go good places. But
I mean, listen.
They said that he's going to use Cicely Tyson till she's out of here. They're going to film her last breath literally for a movie. And then Felicia Rashad.
Who, I mean, once again, I swear to you, would not be working at all if her TV husband was not a full-on rapist. Because they were getting paid from Nick at Night. Nick at Night was cutting the check.
Also, I think it says something. If you keep the momentum going, so like they forget you even was really a part of that. It's like, okay, let me just.
She's not going to get that departed from Claire Huxtable, though.
No, I don't mean departed. I just mean she's going to be so active and visible that we're not just linking her to.
Yeah.
There's
some kids out there that think that's.
I'm in a new movie now. Let's talk about that.
There's some
Let's
kids out
there. Let's
talk
about this. Let's talk about that.
There's some kids
I'm going to just keep doing movies till that shit is erased from your mind somehow.
There's some kids out there that think Felicia Rashad is just a girl that Drake was trying to get with mama because of damn. Was that Nice for What? Is that the video she's in? Or is it In
no.
My Feelings?
Yes, yeah. In My Feelings.
Yeah, there's some kids out there that are like, who is that?
The point. You feel me? The
okay.
point.
All right,
this generation is not like, ooh, the Cosby Show. They like, oh, the lady from the Drake video.
All right, so two things here, because you really just brought some energy to me, and I'm feeling it, because I want to say this. One is that Gabrielle Union changed my mind, my entire optics on how I see whenever actors I like take shitty roles, like what may have been what happened with Bresha, right? And she was just like, I think that when we're not working, that we've fallen off. No, we're paying our bills. Everything's mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see us, especially at her lane in her career, like, because she's been doing this like 30 years now. She was like, whenever you see me working, 99% of the time, I'm trying to pay a bill just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, the cost of living for somebody like Gabrielle Union and maintaining her lifestyle is very different from ours. But it doesn't make it not drawn to scale. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And that's what people always forget. Because I remember whenever I told you early on about the Cosby Show fallout, like I'm like, TV One is the only station trying to keep these actors paid. And I kind of respect it. At first, you were like wondering who all is going to pull Cosby, right? Who mm-hmm. all is going to pull it? And it getting pulled does much more damage to all the free people that are on that show than it does to Bill Cosby any day, you know?
This is true.
And I didn't realize that until Gabby said that. And I was like, wow, that's kind of messed up. And then the Jeffrey Owens thing happened where he got called out at the Whole Foods. And you just in your mind, you're like, it was the greatest sitcom of all time at a point. And now it's not. Now, with the Tyler Perry thing, you know, these actors got to get, they have to get work. And Tyler Perry, Tyler Perry Studios is collectivists, you know, and there's a bunch of friends that they have going over there. I don't know why he's choosing to introduce brand new actors on these shows on BET the way that he is. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but I don't think that it's breaking them into anything, though. I'm afraid that they're not going to get visibility off of that. All of those people are brand new. So we don't have a lot of pull. His name is the reason why we would watch those shows. Paige Hurd is in the Oval.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Paige Hurd, yeah.
Yeah, I like Paige Hurd,
too. He did recruit her. I mean, we know her face. But as far as changing the lane of her career, I don't know if this is it, but hey.
The weirdest thing about that is that I think Parker McKinney-Posey got the better end of the BET dealings because she was in that other show, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you didn't like that show either, but I know it wasn't The Oval. I know that.
Oh, I never finished.
What was it?
What is the name of the show?
I don't know. BET, first of all, BET stick to something for longer than 6 months. Like every 6 months, y'all rebrand the entire network. And it's crazy.
Well, that's because they're just not put, like, something has to be done.
Something's wrong.
They have to just stop picking up shit because it's black. Like, please look.
Well, either that or just play Martin. Play Martin all day and shut the hell up.
If they took some time to actually make one good sitcom instead of 18 dramedies.
They roll out too much.
Maybe
at one time,
we
right?
could get somewhere if y'all focus on this show and y'all hire some good people for each part of that show. We might have some longevity because they have been throwing out series like. I mean, they change a series like we change our draws.
Listen, not only that, but BET Plus is not nearly as accessible as they claim it is.
And what's the point? You can't get... Okay, my issue with that
is subscription-based too, isn't it? You got to pay for that shit.
If you're not putting out quality content on your main channel, what makes you think I want to go pay and stream your things? I will say, I'm glad we actually just got a DM literally about the Finding show. It seems like they're actual better shows. They're reality shows, which you can only stream on whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Actually have quality. Like that Finding show and the one I think they did about Video Vixens. That seems like something I want to access on the main channel. It seems like what could be quality and what we would check for, it ain't playing on actual BET. I'm not going to hunt for your stuff online. Like, put the shit on TV. Put your quality shit on the television. Because I would watch Finding on BET on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. if you did that.
Right, because, I mean, you know what's on? House Party. Like, House Party 1 is on.
You know
right
what, BET?
Now,
or... Just hire us, niggas.
No, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, hire us, but also, like, I really just want to keep it funky with everybody and just fully understand that every new year, y'all get us all excited about being black. You start playing commercials and powerful music, and we be like, oh, yeah, black. And it's all these clips of all this shit that y'all don't really actually air. Like, yes. barely. You watch a BET commercial, you're like, whoa, it's Eddie Murphy. Oh, my God, Felicia Rashad. Oh, my God, another Sanaa Lathan. There's so many great black stars popping up on your screen fast. And they're playing, Make Me a Believer. You're like, hell yes, I'm black. Yes, yes, star power. Yes. And then, boom, what's on?
Y'all want to watch this?
House of Pain for 4 hours. And then Martin. Here's the thing. As much as I love Martin, even I don't need it as much as y'all giving it to me because that shit y'all running through the series within 3-4 days. And y'all start, like, again, I'm still mad you started Girlfriends and stopped before a full run. That's just fucking rude. All right? If you're going to pull a show off your network, at least let us get to the damn series finale. It's crazy for me to be like, okay, well, Girlfriends come on at 12. These niggas told me to watch it. They said, hey. They literally said, you missed them. And I said, yes, I do. You missed them. You love them. Watch your Girlfriends. And I was like, okay, I will. And I started, too. And they pulled it. They took it away from me. They gave it to me and pulled it away from me in the middle of the show. And even if I didn't like the show, I get to at least see my shit resolved, right? Like, I deserve that much. Don't ask me to watch your network and then pull all my shit in the middle of the series. Come on.
Just bring 106 and Park back and notarize. Just do it.
I don't understand why notarize is not a thing. I can't for the life of me understand why Viacom in general pulled because their nostalgia-based content.
In order to have notarized, you have to play shows that play music videos.
No.
Yeah, you do.
What, for the countdown?
They would
shit?
Have to change. They would have to change it to like, oh, how many YouTube views it got. But fine. Typically, notarized was more about their video-based content, yeah. Music video-based content. If they're not playing it, what are they notarizing? No shit, they played on their.
But they used
channel.
To do it. They used to do it for the entire like decade. You know what I'm saying? They used to like on New Year's Eve, they would do notarized over the course of several years. Sometimes.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they
it
did.
It was top 100 of the year.
No, I'm telling you that there's a top 100 of the year, and there's also. A top 100 of something else. Because I'm telling you.
Specials, but typically you got the year end, like what the fuck was 106 in Park playing all these weeks. They could do everything exactly like they did it in 2001. But the way we set up, we going to hate it.
Wow. Hey, listen.
Like they could do everything. It could literally be the same type of show, same type of energy, same type of production, same type of host. And we'll be like, fuck that. That's not AJ and Free. And so, I mean, it's really a catch-22. Like,
I want to say it's a catch-22. I think it goes both ways, though, because technically cable's making kind of a strong comeback.
Like, all niggas going to do is say that ain't AJ and Free. They can't even try to bring 106 and Park back. People still are watching music videos, obviously.
I don't know if it's that obvious.
It is.
I think it's far and few between. I don't think every single
YouTube videos
is
are YouTube videos are getting hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah,
like,
it's probably more me than anything. I feel you.
You don't watch a lot of music videos, but I know a lot of people that do. Like, still, when something drops, they're looking at it. So that's not true. People are still viewing music videos. So it does have a place.
It does have a place. You're right. I mean, it always had a place. It just seems like the things that make viral content, music video-wise, are always from our biggest names. You know, it's Drake, Beyonce, Jay, Ree, Kanye. I mean, I don't see a lot of loose videos from other people just surfacing through my Instagram feeds and or Twitter or Facebook anymore. But I mean, like,
they're being watched though.
They are being watched by the masses.
They
are. I haven't seen the box video. Is there a video for the box? I also don't care about the video.
Yeah,
for the box.
I just think we personally don't go looking for it, but there is a huge population of people that do. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I started Googling notarized, and there's all these Yahoo answers about what the notarized words from all the years. Now I'm kind of like, this is such a great rabbit hole for another time. But 2006, what do you think number one was?
2006?
This list is right.
Cassie, Me and You.
Ooh, that's a good one. Me and You is number 11.
Okay.
You're not far off.
All right.
It's going down. Young Jock.
Got
Nitty,
you.
Because it was a Nitty beat. Also, LaToya Torn was number four, and I'm just like,
video? That song was huge, though.
You know, I know the song was huge, but I'm like, I think that was always my beef with the videos, is that sometimes I'd be like, yeah, this song was a banger, but like the video is not why we watch the song or we fuck with the song. But
I don't know.
Snap Your Fingers is number five, and I think song and video wise. That belongs up there because it had that cool ass, colorful background.
But music videos were one different back then, too.
They were.
It was a package deal, I think. Like, I enjoyed the video. There was choreography, there was a story, there was slow mo, there was looks. Like,
it's been a minute. I just can't remember. I just can't think of it being that notable.
I think LaToya Luckett was dating possibly Slim Thug at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Slim Thug's a legend. I want to say, am I making that up? I think she dated Slim Thug around this time, though.
Slim Thug is a legend. He's a legend. And he's like, out of the thing, people don't give Slim Thug enough credit. Out of that group of people, Slim Thug probably has the highest net worth. Well, Paul Wall and then Slim Thug.
Yeah, Paul Wall still making niggas grills out here.
Not only that, somebody noted that Paul Wall is the only white rapper who they think has the best verse on a track with black rappers on Drive Slow. And I was like,
y'all haven't heard that song in so long.
I fucking love
that. I have to play that song when I get in the car. Oh,
I love that song.
Don't
Here's
let
the
me
thing.
Forget.
Whenever somebody said it, I was like, you know how I knew that shit was amazing? My mother likes that fucking verse. My mom told me to stop it because she wanted me to run it back. He says something about, what does he say? What does he say? What does he say?
There we go.
drive slow, homie.
I'm skipping over there to the Paul's verse real quick.
He was stunned. Drive slow. You never know, homie, about these hoes, homie. You need to pump your brakes and drive slow, homie. What it do? I'm posted up in the parking lot, my trunk waving. The candy gloss is immaculate, it's simply amazing. The male bows poking wide on the candy leg. Trunk open, screens on, neons lit with fifth relax. I'm on a mission for dime pieces and sexy ladies. Allow me to introduce you to my CL Mercedes. It's a star-studded event when I valet park. Open up my mouth and sunlight illuminates the dark. You see them foes crawling, you see them screens falling. The disco ball in my mouth insinuates I'm balling. I'm leaning on the switch, sitting crooked in my slab. But I could still catch poppers if I drove a cab. A young Houston hard hitter, all about the Skrilla. Riding some candy coated, crawling like a caterpillar. I'm tipping on them foes, I'm jamming on this group. I'm looking for them hoes, baby, what it do? Drive slow, homie.
Oh my goodness. Ooh, that was a deep memory. I have not ran that song back in such a long time.
I love that album in general, but it should be noted that, I mean, honestly, grills, sitting sideways, still tipping. I'm only 5'9", South Leaf, baby. Holla at me. Yo, I'm sitting similar to an ant because I'm low to the earth. People's feelings get hurt when they figure out what I'm worth.
Yo, we can do a Houston rap episode. Oh,
listen, first of all, sitting similar to an ant because I'm low to the earth. Get the hell out of here. That was genius.
Well, now that we have accidentally segued into music, how about we do a couple of anniversaries?
Do you know what today is?
20 years ago, Jagged Edge released J.E. Heartbreak, January 18th.
Okay. Listen, starting this podcast, if anybody's listening to the shows in order, you know I'm an avid Jagged Edge fan and always have been. Now, I will say that hanging out with Jazz has kind of diluted some of the things that I was really big fans of when we started this podcast. I don't know what it is, but she's kind of a hater. It doesn't take long.
I know you fucking lying.
No, whenever I say hater, she doesn't hate Jagged Edge. She hates me. And that's why I stopped liking some of the shit that I had liked before. But listen.
Did we ever talk about how somebody said it's a 4-member group, but it got 2-part harmony?
Yeah, and that's kind of part of the problem. Like, here's the thing, y'all. Y'all gonna be passionate about shit, and then y'all gonna want to do stuff involving the shit you're passionate about, and then when you're gonna dissect it, you're gonna find out sometimes things look funny in the light. You'd be like, this is kind of ruining the way I had seen this forever.
Okay, but no.
Because look, I'm also not watching Living Single anymore. I'm not, because Kyle Barker is annoying the shit out of me every episode now. I can't watch it.
Sorry to that man. The actual first single didn't chart. It was called Keys to the Range, and Jermaine Dupri was on it. As he was on a lot of the songs, it's like a Jermaine Dupri, Brian Michael Cox production. You know what happens when they get together. Yeah. Some R&B magic. Then they had He Can't Love You, that got the momentum going. But when the next two dropped?
See, first of all, I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this. I'ma be real and say what's on my heart. Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the start, yeah? All the years we put in this relationship, who knew we'd make it this far? Then I think about, where would I be if we were to just fall apart? And I can't stand the thought of losing you.
Just want to get married. Meet me at the altar in your white dress.
Yo, it gets real chaotic at the end when they're doing the ad-libs. It gets real chaotic. All I'm asking you to do is meet me at the altar.
Great original to remix, like, levels.
Yes.
The original is good. It's a great original. And honestly, it's by far one of the best. We get to talk about this a lot in the podcast, too, because I did this with I'm Real and how, like, I'm Real remix blows I'm Real out of the water in a way that makes I'm Real seem like it don't make no sense no more because the remix is so crazy. This is one of those remixes where both songs have equal value based on mood.
Yes. Absolutely right.
You might be vibing out one night and be like, I would like to hear Jagged Edge sing about wanting to marry a woman, but I ain't in the mood.
Put some stank on it.
Well, I mean, like, well, you ain't always in the mood to be like bumping. You know what I'm saying? Like bumping. At the party, though, I got to play the remix now. I don't have a choice.
You walked right into that one.
It's stupid for me to, I'm creating work for myself right here, live and living color. You know it's a banger because they call this shit the Remarkable Remix. Some things is just a remix. This is a Remarkable Remix. And every time somebody uses the word remarkable, I always say the same thing. What are your remarks?
This here is a remarkable, so death remix. J.E., y'all. Run DMC to the beach, y'all. And me? Y'all know my name. Come on.
See, first of all, yeah. I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this.
You get the idea.
Turn that shit up.
They also bought Run DMC to the radio in 2003. What year is this?
2000.
Okay. Run, like, literally, there are kids rapping Run DMC lyrics in the year 2000. That says everything you need to know about this remix. But I do think that beat is a Run DMC sample, yes. Which is why it's just like a. Tory Lanez, did you see what Jermaine Dupri did? All right, did you see what Jermaine Dupri did, Tory Lanez? He said, I have an idea for a remix. He probably was just DJing and was like, wow, I just put the Let's Get Married a cappella over this Run DMC track, and it is so dope. I should call them. Wow, a concept.
I'll have you know that for the last Chicks tape, he did call the people that did the songs. Now, give him his credit now this time. But see, you got to build to that. Like he have the access. He had to get his foot in the dough, and then he could have the opportunity to invite people in. Like he had to get in there first.
But when is he gonna go back to just making like songs?
He does. He does both. Man. He does both. Tory has original music, and then he does Chicks Tape series. He does both.
Yeah.
He has original albums too.
Yeah. Also from that album.
Oh no, you didn't.
This thing's dropping too.
Nothing is promised to me and you. So why will we let this thing go? Maybe I promise that I'll stay true. Don't let nobody say it ain't so. And maybe I promise that I'll never leave. And everything will be alright. I promise these things to you.
So girl, just believe, I promise.
I feel like the people deserve to hear the ad-libs at the end.
That I will never
leave.
And everything
you.
Will be yes, alright. I promise these things to you. Girl, just believe.
Girl, believe.
I promise.
Yeah. God damn it. Say what you want about the harmonizer, but them twins, I love their voice so much.
This is one of those things that always reminds me that people who are in music in general just kind of have a little bit of ADD. Because in a lot of ways, R&B singers could listen to the hook for the third time and not do what they did. But real ones kind of can't.
Yeah.
You get to that third hook, you're just like, okay, I'm about to fuck this up. I don't have a choice. That's what DJs do. Literally, as soon as I get to that third verse of anything, I'm like, oh my God, I have to mix this with some shit because I am getting bored. Don't y'all want to hear some drops or something? I can just drop some other stuff over this. But yeah, you know, it's crazy how parallel Promise is to Cupid to me. Like Jagged Edge and 112.
I love that song.
But Jagged Edge and 112 really do have some like actual verses songs. Like, they've got some songs where you be like, this versus that, and you be like, that makes sense. Yeah. Promise versus Cupid makes a lot of sense to me.
It does.
Where they really beautiful lose music. This battle is that 112 has Sky's the Limit, and you know what Jagged Edge's Sky's the Limit is? Bow Wow's Thank You.
Get the fuck.
I want to thank you for calling to your local stations. They had the day to play my song.
Listen.
If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't be no me. And that's why I'm a ride for you forevermore. Yeah, nigga, they lost that one.
I did think Bow Wow was talking to me, though. I was like, yeah, I'm one of them people. Like, yeah. I felt real special when that song came.
What do the title Doggy Bag mean? Can you just explain what you think that means? Explain to the people what Doggy Bag means. What's the metaphor? You taking some food home? What is the CD about? B, bad. O, outstanding. W, everybody know who the wicked is. Wow, that's what the girls all scream when I step up on the seat and proceed to get down.
I love how much you remember. That is ingrained in your brain. And you know who did that? Bow Wow.
Shad.
Shad. Shad.
That nigga name is terrible. Stop it. Because listen to me. I'm so attracted to Teyana Taylor. There was a list. There was a picture going viral about your favorite three comics from this group of like 12 comics. Did you see this?
No.
All right. I want to show it to you, but I don't want to. If I read it, you're going to forget because it's 12 niggas.
Okay. Oh, and you can. And
I want to show it to you.
You can choose three. Like, you have to choose
three. You have to choose three. No, you know what? Okay.
I don't think I'm good at this kind of stuff because I don't ever. Like, my answer is always trash, you know?
It's trash.
It's never accepted by the masses.
Well, it doesn't have to be accepted by the masses. So
yeah, but I also don't feel like being ridiculed either.
Okay, all right. So you don't have to say.
They're going to be like, you did this? You left out Eddie Murphy?
You don't have to. You don't have to play the game. It's Pryor. Richard Pryor. I'm going to do full names. Richard Pryor, Bernie Mac, Martin Lawrence, Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, Cat Williams, Robin Harris, Cedric the Entertainer, Mike Epps, and Kevin Hart.
I think I want to play.
Play.
Okay.
You're throwing a comedy show. What's three you paying to perform?
Eddie Murphy,
mm-hmm.
Dave Chappelle,
mm-hmm.
And I'm having trouble for the last one. It's either, fuck. I don't know who my third one would be, but those two for sure.
So here's the thing. I'm not playing, but there's a chance here that you, like, people keep wanting to put together a show that makes the most sense. So it's like comedians that can do smart comedy versus just super like raw black comedy versus, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. People keep doing that. I'm telling you, and this is in all honesty, and this is not my favorite of all these comics, but I will tell you that on a bad night for anybody else out of this group, Cat Williams might blow any one of these niggas out the water.
See, he was a possibility for my third.
Cat Williams.
Because Cat Williams has made me laugh like more than half this list.
Insane.
Like, it's something I connect to on a personal level because I watched his stand-ups like.
But I think Cat Williams has the greatest stand-up of all time.
I do too.
I mean, seriously. And not only that.
I think I'm more so thinking about like today if I would enjoy them or if.
But you know what? He doesn't miss. I mean, sober Cat Williams. I won't say sober. Soberer Cat Williams. A Cat Williams that's more sober than he is currently.
Yes, doing lighter drugs than doing what lighter he possibly drugs. Is
yeah.
doing now.
Is unmatched. Unmatched. I mean, and I say this because even the stuff that he was in, Boondocks, there's a point in time where they are talking about Gangstalicious, Mos Def's character, being gay or whatever, and he's got a song out called Do the Homie, and Riley's asking Cat Williams' character, he's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing is that we don't put bitches over niggas. Like, we never do this. We always niggas first. He says,
I don't think homies over hoes is a sentiment that a pimp named Slickback can co-sign, Riley. I mean, don't get me wrong. A pimp named Slickback will put a lot of things over a hoe. Money over a hoe? Always. Brand new gators over a hoe? Absolutely. A turkey sandwich with just tomato? Guaranteed.
Nigga, I was dead.
Let's watch Cat Williams stand up one day too.
Not, I mean, not add only that, that but the School Dance, the movie School Dance, which is terrible, but Cat Williams is fucking phenomenal.
For me to go visit him in prison.
Say hi, Daddy. Say hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Whose goddamn white baby is that?
This is your baby, okay? He's just light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
Miss, this baby is rice-skinned, but not light-skinned. That is a white child. That is Caucasian from the mountains of Caucasus. That is a Slavic baby, a Viking from Iceland. That's a good... That baby got 730 as a credit rating right now as an infant. That's not my baby. That's almost a grown white man you brought in here. His glasses are certainly grown. I've never seen a baby with that type of prescription.
Okay. Can you tell me one for sure on your stage? Just one. Cat.
Well, okay. I think that's locked in now because I spent all this time talking about Cat. I love
so many. You might have made him my third, but.
I love so many of these people, but I think Cat Williams raw. I think he was born funny. I think he was funny the day he walked out of the womb.
He walked out of that
he probably walked out and was like, what is this? I don't even understand what this is. This doesn't make any sense. Don't smack me on my ass, bitch. I don't even know you. Eddie Murphy told a story in Delirious about his family having people over, and it was 35 minutes long. And he's doing all of the characters, and you can differentiate every single one of these voices. This is just one man. It's one person on
stage. One band, one sound.
Right. But do you know how difficult that is for you to be telling a story that visually and for the audience to be completely tapped in? It's not easy at all. So it's Eddie Cat. And that third one is a wild card.
Eddie Cat.
You know, and people are probably going to assume that I'm going to say Rock because I get compared to Rock more than any of these other niggas.
Absolutely.
But.
You definitely give me Chris Rock spirit a lot.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's not fair for two reasons. One, we both just have the same crossbite. Like, our teeth are just, we're just fucked up in the exact same way. And sometimes people are telling me that and I'm like, I don't know if you think that's true or if you're just looking at me smiling. You're like, your smile reminds me of Chris Rock. And it's an insult to the both of us, except for the fact that I ain't got no money, and he does, and I don't know why he hasn't fixed his jaw. But
fuck it.
I mean, hey, right? Get it how you live. Probably it's either Chappelle or Robin Harris, honestly. Because that's the thing. We were talking about how Robin Harris was Uber, everything he did was funny too. He just didn't live a very long time. Mm-hmm. Baby's Kids was outrageous. And I mean, Robin Harris was funny in Spike's stuff that he did with him also. I always found him great. We lost him way too soon. And Kevin Hart is definitely not a bad comedian. People like to sell him off very fast now.
No, especially I enjoy his stand-ups a lot. Especially that second one, I think it was.
They get worse with the tax bracket changing. They get worse as he gets richer. But that's that thing I was telling you with the Tyler Perry, Tom Cruise thing. After a while, you just lose a little touch. He's not going to Disney World with Mekhi Phifer no more. Mekhi Phifer not rich enough for Kevin Hart. They're not even friends no more, probably. Mekhi Phifer. You're not going to say nothing about Mekhi Phifer?
In too deep.
All right. I forgot why I brought this up.
How did we get there?
It wasn't so that you could play. It wasn't.
Run the tape bike, because I forgot how we got here.
Oh, fuck.
Where it was going.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
Oh, God. Bow Wow.
Run DMC. Bow Wow. Jagged Edge, thank you. Nigga, what?
I have no idea how we got here. It was something, though. It was something very... I had a note that had nothing to do with us ranking them. I had nothing. It doesn't matter. I guess we have to leave it.
We do have another 20-year anniversary, and it is D'Angelo's Voodoo.
I'm not even going to hold y'all with no bullshit, really.
You holding us, JD.
Someplace where it's legal. Roll one for me right now. With your girl. Go Go ahead and get that seaweed paper and that rice and roll you up some sushi. All day. I have to stop.
Oh gosh, I was about to just go ahead and let it take me where it took me.
But you see why I started. I started for a reason, because you need all the elements. D'Angelo is by far, probably D'Angelo and Janelle Monae may be the only two Prince's children where I'm like, yes, spot on. You are Prince's children. You guys are here because of Prince, and Prince knows it, and Prince is okay with it because you guys are that good.
You're doing it right.
Doing it right. This is not auto-tune. No. This man sounded like this. All right.
Yeah, a lot of this album is like live play. Like, this is live recording.
And you have to respect somebody who could get their musicians to be this musician. To kill this the way that they did. Yeah. Because you know what?
He's one himself. Plays instruments.
What happens here is that D'Angelo puts out music that has his brand littered from every single element. There's no group of Jewish men telling this nigga what to do at all.
It's too many instruments.
At all. They wouldn't know where to start.
Too much soul in here.
Now, this song is best known for him being butt-ass naked in that music video. But the song is an amazing song.
It is.
Now, I watched my mother and her friends swoon over this music video as
that
a child.
That shit kind of wild.
And listen, I ain't even tripping. I ain't tripping no more, because I got very in shape. This is another one of those moments that alluded to the fact that I needed to do something with my physical health, because girls, all my life I've been watching black women swoon over niggas that worked out and took good care of themselves and shit. And I was young and I was like, okay.
Amen.
Here's what I know I need to do. I need to not live with my mama, and I need to go to the gym. I mean, seemingly those are the only two qualifiers for how you end up with a black woman. Literally every time somebody walked into the room, they said, girl, he got his own car and he don't live with his mama. And they'd be like, marry him. Girl, listen, you got it. That's it. That's the only thing a nigga needs. Lock it in. And I was like, okay. Duly noted. And then I saw women swoon over this nigga, and I was like, I don't understand what the appeal is. I mean, it's not like the nigga got titties or nothing. I mean, like, what can you even do with this? I mean, like, you ain't gonna do
it's
nothing.
Even the mystery behind what's down there that we're not seeing, like, it's they
my
did
name
that.
Is Yasmin. I'm not gonna talk about penises on this show. You just
said I was
that.
Talking about penis. I was talking about the size of his feet. I wonder how big his feet is.
Will Smith say in Fresh Prince, you know what they say about a guy with big feet. And Ash was like, no, what? He said, they be like, damn, he got some good feet. He got some big feet. Damn, he got
no,
some
but
big
this
feet.
Was a time with the braids, and it was a lot of parody to it. People was parodying the shit out of this. Is that a word? Parodying.
Parodying. It was parodying the shit out of this. They parakilled it.
Jamie Foxx. God, a terrible one. He was picking out belly button lint. He had on what ended up being Shamar Moore's wig in that Madea movie. He had that on.
No, you didn't.
And it was a fool. This is like really the most commercial song on here. It makes duh, it went number one, whatever. Because a lot of his music had changed from his first album, like I want some of your brown sugar. This
Lady God.
This album is much more of a beast in the soul and the jazz and funk type of thing.
I'm like, not
it's
dropping
a lot of instruments and soul, and it's not. I can't believe it's this many singles on it, because it's such a vibey album. Like,
that's the thing.
It's a vibe. You want to play that in certain times when you're doing certain things.
Rolling sushi.
Exactly. This is a good rolling sushi song.
See,
like,
you see, I said,
you're going to roll the best
of
the best sushi on this day you listen to this album.
The reason why I'm bringing up rolling stuff and not sex is because I'm celibate. So ain't nothing for me to do but roll sushi. On the other end of that, I ain't played the other singles from this album because it's a front to back.
Yeah, it's a front to back. Devil's Pie, yeah. Left and Right, Send It On, Feel Like Making Love. Like, these were all released as singles, but you listen to this as just a project.
You know what's crazy?
Like, that's how you get in it.
There's some albums, and more often in black music, I'm going to say black music just as a whole, where they're better off without singles almost. Like, I would argue that this is one of those albums that's better off without singles. It doesn't need singles. Untitled is a great single if you're going to bring anybody into it. But, like, yeah, I would argue Frank Ocean doesn't make a lot of albums that you'd be like, put on the radio. Like, I don't know. You don't even hear any of that shit on the radio. Mm-hmm. Listen to the album or don't listen to it at all. Mm-hmm. To Pimp a Butterfly. All Right worked. I'm glad it did. But that album is a package deal. Mm-hmm. You kind of really can't take it in correctly if you're just listening to Lucy's. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few times they've done that wrong. Like, Twisted Fantasy is an experience. And literally, Kanye put out every single song as a single for that reason. Because he was like, I don't know which one. I can't think of any one to do. We got to do the whole thing. Lemonade is an experience. She had to put out a whole, you know, thing for it because it's unfair.
And then Formation being the single, and that's just pretty much a bonus track on that album.
It's basically a bonus track because if you're listening to albums that have narratives, like, the last thing you want to do is break it up.
Mm-hmm. Although a lot of that Lemonade does work on it. The couple upbeat ones definitely work, but it is a package.
I mean,
it tells a story for sure.
I'm not as avid. I mean, I'm not as versed on Lemonade as some people are. I also haven't never seen the film.
AKA me.
Yeah, I keep getting lit up for having not seen the actual film.
I'm going to vomit. Are you serious?
Yeah, I never saw it. I don't know why. It just really felt like one of those things, like, you know how sometimes.
No, I can't relate.
No, okay. No, you can't relate. You don't have to. This ain't for you to relate.
Well, you say you know how sometimes. How do I know if I don't relate?
Jasmine, listen, yes. You know how sometimes there's a function.
Right? There is a function
and
sometimes.
There's a lot of people going. Right? Yes. Maybe it's a bunch of people we know. Mm-hmm. You've got a gang of mutuals, yes. Right? Every once in a while, somebody would be like, why don't you come out? Why don't I come out? Right? Now, I am completely out of close male friends in this city. They've all moved away, and that's okay. And I don't mind hanging out with girls solely, but sometimes I think I might be taken away from their experience if for some reason I am present for certain things. Mm-hmm. Something about this gave me this vibe where I was just like,
you didn't feel it.
I felt like it was extremely important for a lot of important people to me and just that. And I was okay with that. I'll watch it and I need to watch it for pop culture purposes. Mm-hmm. But in general, I thought it was something that I could exclude myself from the narrative from and it'd be okay. And so far it has been.
The jury accepts that.
Thank you.
You're dismissed.
I try.
Oh, I do got to ask y'all a question. Everybody else think I was high or drunk or something when I said it earlier. But when y'all do go see Bad Boys, the first scene of the main villain, he looks like Hispanic J. Cole. Now, I want y'all to go watch this movie and personally tell me if I'm tripping. If you know me, if you follow me on a social, come to my inbox and tell me if I'm tripping. That fool looked like J. Cole, Hispanic.
J. Cole looks like a Hispanic J. Cole. Okay. All right, guys, listen. We realized that we just booked the studio time to chop it up with you guys. 2020 is going to be lit, though. I'm liking 2020 already.
I like 2020, too. I think 2020 is doing...
I've had the highest grossing month of my career this month.
Let's get it. That's the energy we setting.
Food of the motherfucker.
That's how we're going to end the show. Shout out to 2020. Shout out to y'all. Thanks for hanging with us. This was, you know, just a little fun, just a little conversation to be had, mixing the new age with the old age, you know, just a little something to hold you over.
A little fruit by the foot.
Hope you guys enjoyed. See you on Instagram.
Sherry! You're about to say you ain't.
Keep it.
All right.